On today's Part of My Take, we have one of our favorite quarterbacks of all time, Jeff Garcia. Awesome talk with him. We talked T.O., we talked Eagles situation, we talked whether he should be in the Hall of Fame. We also have a special guest for Guys on Chicks, Sean Booth, who is the winner of The Bachelorette. Didn't win. He found love. And he's actually an award-winning listener, so it was a seamless segment. Really funny stuff, a little behind the scenes of The Bachelorette.
But he also did win The Bachelorette.
Yeah,
but he found love. Bonus.
Before we get to all that, I wanted to talk to you guys about Go 90 from Peter Berg, the creator of Friday Night Lights, comes QB1. A series that takes you inside the lives of the nation's top high school quarterbacks before Jake Fromm was the breakout true freshman leading Georgia to the conference championship. He was one of the greatest high school quarterbacks in Georgia history. QB1 takes you inside his journey to stardom. Follow Jake along with Tate Martell and Tavon Bowers as they tackle the most important season of their lives on and off the field. This is a true story of high school football in America told through the eyes of the nation's top quarterback. Watch QB1. Every episode is now streaming on go90.show/PMT. You're a football guy. This is a great football show. go90.show/PMT. Let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, December 13, and boys, I've got it.
What do you have?
The holiday cheer.
Oh, holiday fever?
I'll tell you what. It finally hit me.
Seasonal affective disorder?
There's a moment every December that hits you where you're like, no one gives a fuck about their job right now, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. You can just mail it all in. Not saying we're going to mail this
podcast
in.
Over?
No. But it is
2 weeks
great.
From now, we're doing like a best of show and like a
right.
Skype
a lot
thing
of lists. People just compile all the lists. They're like, ooh, hey, instead of doing anything new, I'm just going to tell you what happened in this last year.
Year-end list, hot seat for us.
Yeah.
We got number two on Sports Illustrated this year. So we're actually not accepting that.
Yeah.
We've retired from all lists. So that way we can't lose anything.
Yeah, we're still number one sports podcast rankings, not to brag.
Yeah. So the other big news, I thought you were going to start out with this, actually. It is Part of My Take, and Tom Brady is dead.
Ooh.
Is that fake news, Hank, or
yes.
Is that real?
Mm-hmm. Very fake.
So do you think for 1 second Robert Kraft was sitting up there in that booth wearing his really smart-looking blue shirt with white collar?
Yep.
It was a really nice look.
Wait, which one?
Brand-new shirt.
The blue one with the white
the
collar?
Blue
or
dress shirt.
Or the blue one with the white collar.
There's a blue one with white collar and the Air Force Ones.
Yes.
Do you think for 1 second he thought, I traded the wrong quarterback?
Nope.
Oh.
I actually agree with you.
Yeah, I agree with you too. This happens every now again when the Patriots lose and then Tom Brady, it's like, oh man, the world is falling Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I do think
it's a good thing.
I do think there is like there has to be at least a percentage of you, Hank, that's like, could this just be him getting old?
Absolutely.
Finally.
I would say
it's 1% that you'd be like, okay, maybe he's just getting old. But yes, they're probably going to go into Pittsburgh and kick the shit out of the Steelers.
I think it's more likely that Tom Brady was on a boat down in Miami the night before the game, got the old boat curse going, than it was that he's actually getting too old to play well. Or, you know what? I would have loved to have been like a fly on the wall in the post-game handshake between him and Cutler. Just first of all,
Mr. Primetime.
Are we calling him Mr. Monday Night?
No, he's Mr. Primetime, Mr. Monday Night, Mr. Fourth Quarter,
Kid. There's also Mr. First Quarter last night too,
Quarter. That was the Jay Cutler performance that, and I know that all Bears fans know this. That was the one game he throws out a year where you're like, this guy's fucking good.
Jay Cutler and Tom Brady are like the yin and the yang.
Yeah.
So Tom Brady has like 15 awesome games and the one shitty one.
No,
and
man.
And Jay Cutler has this one game.
You.
And he did look
when
really, really
clicking,
good.
He just needs everything to click.
What do you think it is that puts him in click mode?
I don't know. It's a Mr. Primetime.
You know what? I'd be totally okay with the Dolphins having like three more Monday night games.
I need Jay Cutler to stay for 2018. I think that Monday night game did it for us because I can't lose Jay Cutler. We've lost too many good quarterbacks recently. Mm. Can't lose Jay Cutler.
And those uniforms are sick, too.
Those uniforms are
Miami
sick.
Miami throwbacks?
Yeah, I love those. Although, candy-ass. Can't win a championship.
Well, yeah, I'm talking regular season.
Yeah, right. So the other thing I'm excited for, I was taking a little look-see. I'm fucking pumped for the NFL playoffs.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for Color Rush Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
The Broncos and the Colts.
The shittiest game ever.
The annual horse matchup. But if you notice, the Colts are stepping up their Color Rush game. They're going all blues for
all
the first
blues.
Time. But
seriously, so the playoffs, like I was looking at it, there's not one team that, especially coming off the Patriots losing to the Dolphins, there's not one team that I could, like maybe the Titans, like they're trash, Mariota's trash, but I think the Chargers will probably sneak in. There's not one team that I can be like, you know what? They could probably make a run, which I don't think we've had that in a really long time. Where like, would you be shocked if the Ravens go in a deep run from the sixth seed?
Not at all. Right. I called this a couple weeks ago.
Falcons could put it all together. Like the bottom,
listen,
if you look at the NFC, it's totally flipped. The top three teams in the NFC are like shitty quarterbacks, and the bottom three are like Drew Brees, possibly Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, like really good quarterbacks.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. We joke around about this sometimes, but I'm going out on a limb. I think that the Jaguars are making the AFC Championship.
I do too. They have that right mix where it's like they have a great defense. If they just run the ball, let Blake be Blake, and by that I mean when you need a touchdown, he'll throw one.
Mm-hmm.
When you need an interception, he won't.
Correct.
So that would be Blake being Blake.
Yeah. When I say that they're going to make the AFC Championship, by the way, if they don't, this is satire.
Yeah.
This is a satire sports show.
You know, if you want to sound smart, you say Jacksonville's built for the playoffs because they run the ball and they pressure the quarterback.
And they stop the run,
yeah. That's a key that everyone needs, all you noobs out there. If you can get pressure on the quarterback, your defense has a chance.
Yep.
That's my favorite. Also, like, how do you beat the Patriots? You got to sack Tom Brady 10 times.
You got to hit Tom Brady in the mouth. You got to stop the run, and you got to commit to running the football.
So I've been throwing around this thought, and I'm put on record here because it's going to sound dumb when it comes, you know, they lose in the first round, but I think we haven't heard the last of Dan Quinn and the Falcons. I feel like they're the lurker. You know what I mean? The team, it's like they have all the pieces and they've played really shitty and survived. Like Matt Ryan, I saw a stat where
sucks.
Matt Ryan, there are 22 games this year where the quarterback has thrown three interceptions. Those teams are 2-20 in those games. Matt Ryan has both wins.
That's
so well, like
they would know how to win ugly.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. So it's like I would not be shocked if the Falcons are like, well, okay, I guess. I mean, yeah, they won the Super Bowl. They have a fucking loaded roster.
Well, they didn't win the Super
Bowl. Or they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Matt Ryan just stopped playing like an asshole for January.
So that's embracing the suck.
So I guess, is it time to ask the question, do we know if the Falcons are bad? Little switcheroo from last
know.
Year.
I don't know. Also, I'm very excited for the Seahawks season to flame out against the Rams and them to just start a full-on fist fight with everyone.
Themselves.
Yeah. They're
going to fight them. There's going to be another, was it Percy Harvin?
Yeah.
And what was the other guy?
I don't know.
Percy Harvin, was it Golden Tate?
Yeah.
Yeah, Golden Tate.
They fought.
Got punched in the mouth in the locker room. At the Super Bowl or something like that.
The Seahawks, though, can we just say that they're the sorriest losers of all time? Like, that team, I don't know why they get a pass. Maybe because I think they're just, like, cool to watch and their uniforms are cool and Pete Carroll's fun when he's chopping his gum. Yeah. But that team is a fucking bunch of babies.
Well, I'll tell you what happens. So whenever they lose a game, especially if it's in prime time, you hit on it, Pete Carroll's chopping the gum. When they lose, the camera cuts to Pete Carroll on the sidelines, and he just stops mid-chomp with his jaw wide open, and he doesn't move.
Yeah.
And he just gets frozen in time.
He does.
And then everybody's like, oh, shit, my TV's broken.
Yeah.
And we start mashing the buttons, and we're so concerned about our televisions that we don't think, oh, well, Michael Bennett's out there diving and trying to rip somebody's ACL out with his teeth.
Correct.
And, like, rolling into guys with his tiny little shoulder pads that probably have blades on
them. Yeah, he doesn't even wear shoulder pads. What the hell's up with that?
Yeah, eventually he's just going to play shirtless.
The only thing that could ruin the playoff, my playoff, like, buzz that I got going on, because you would agree, like, the NFL playoffs have not been that great in recent years. It feels like we've had, like, two or three good teams and just a bunch of shit.
Well, so I know one thing that could do it, and I think it's what would ruin my playoff buzz, too, And that's the fact that Andy Reid's going to lose in the first round again.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen.
If he gets there.
He's going to get there, and he's going to lose in the first round, and I'm going to be heartbroken again.
I was going to say if the Cowboys or the Lions sneak in, that's going to ruin the playoffs.
I don't think the Cowboys.
Because both those teams will get smoked on wild card weekend. And that's really what we need is some close games.
You know what we should do right now? I was a little mean to the city of Philadelphia on Monday's show.
You're
I feel
harsh.
Bad.
It's you're going to say sorry?
It's tough love. I'd like to apologize to the city of brotherly love.
Oof.
But I'd also like to power rank the quarterbacks that should be playing for the Eagles right now.
Okay, let's do it.
So let's just say Nick Foles isn't the answer. Hypothetically,
Big Dick Nick.
Hypothetically, Nick Foles isn't going to take your team to Super Bowl. What are the other quarterbacks that you would like to see either come out of retirement or get signed off the streets?
Okay, Tony Romo.
Yeah, Tony Romo is number one.
Number one,
I would love to see Tony Romo beat the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs and then go to a Super Bowl and win it for the Eagles.
That would be fantastic.
Number two, I'd like to see Kaepernick.
Kaepernick would be great.
Kaepernick in Philadelphia would be wonderful.
Philadelphia would be a firestorm. RG3 would always love to see RG3. Is Charlie Whitehurst still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
He's off somewhere like in...
Throws a great spiral.
Yeah, he's in that Utah desert that just got opened up for like oil drilling, playing guitar somewhere.
Okay, so that's another one on my list. Who else you got?
Well, Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton, obviously.
I think he could come in and do some damage.
Kyle Orton, to get Kyle Orton to come out of retirement, I think you just have to go sit on his porch in Iowa and just be like, here's your jersey, Kyle, and here's your playbook. Mm-hmm. And then just hopefully he just shows up to the facility the next day.
Yeah. I guess I would like to see...
Where's Brandon Whedon?
I'm going to throw a name out there. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Chase Daniels.
Oh.
Chase Daniels, by the way, is a great quarterback. I don't think he's ever played in the NFL.
Yeah.
But he's a great NFL quarterback.
He's got a little bit of a Big Ben, a little fat face going.
Yes, he does.
He's always got that, you know, the cherub. Cheeks.
Yeah.
You like that word?
That's good. He also wears, I think he wears number 10.
Yeah.
Which the big circle doesn't do anything.
Does not help.
It does not,
help. Does not help at all. I'm trying to think who else is out there that I would like to see. I mean, Jeff Garcia, obviously, but we talked to him about that coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You got anyone else on the list?
I mean, obviously Sam Bradford, but.
Yeah.
Just to complete the circle of the Rams.
He's getting himself
the Rams, Nick Foles,
healthy.
Philadelphia, Minnesota.
He's getting himself healthy right now to break another record next year because he broke a record last year. Completion percentage. I think.
Okay.
A bunch of, if you throw enough six yard passes, you too can get the completion percentage record. All right. Let's get to our hot seat, cool throw. And before we do that, Lisa is one of our favorite sponsors. They sponsor Larry, who went 4-1. So Larry the Goldfish is back. We're going to do a special West Virginia Larry this week live on Periscope. So make sure you turn into that. But Lisa is giving everyone a $100 off their Lisa mattress. If you go to lisa.com/barstool right now, Lisa provides a 100-night risk-free trial along with free shipping so you can properly try out the mattress in the comfort of your own home. So what makes this mattress different? Well, let me tell you. At Lisa, it's all about the quality. The incredibly comfortable Lisa mattress is 100% American-made and comprised of three high-quality foam layers that provide cooling, contouring, and pressure relief. So go right now, 100 nights free risk-free trial. And you get $100 off lisa.com/barstool, lisa.com/barstool. All right, hot seat, cool throne. PFT, why don't you start?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. All right. Go ahead and go first. My hot seat is Bruce Allen.
Oh.
I guess you can call him the president of the Washington R-Words.
Okay.
I know this is going to shock you guys, so sit down. It sounds like there's some turmoil in the front office
Washington.
He's probably, my hope is he gets fired after this year. The Washington Redskins are getting sued for Scott McLuhan's salary from, I think, this year.
Okay.
And next year. And instead of just, like, paying his salary. Now, this is crazy.
Scott McLuhan's the guy who just disappeared, right?
He got fired.
Yeah, but no, but before that, he, like, disappeared.
Well, yeah, no, that's not true. He went and lived, like, on a ranch in Washington.
While
just got drunk and scouted football, allegedly. So they are trying to not pay his salary, which is just like $1 million.
Yeah.
So instead
Love when billionaires are like, hey, we don't want to give you this piece of money.
So Snyder could just go ahead and pay that.
Yep.
But he's not. And now he's getting sued, which means that the R-Words are getting all their record books opened
Hell
up.
Hell yes.
And everyone's getting deposed inside the facility. And they're getting asked questions about drinking that goes on the property.
Mm-hmm.
Since one of the reasons that they said they fired him was because
he would drink
occasionally on the property.
Yeah.
And so now everybody's going to be like, well, yeah, Dan Snyder like had... He used Crown Royal for breakfast in his cereal.
Right, right.
So it's going to really fuck everything up.
Ooh, can we go all the way back to Albert Hainsworth? Or no?
would just like crack just, open
yeah,
all
this, this deposition. Yeah. I'd like to see what Albert would put down on a given day.
Oh, just to see how much he could drink?
Yeah.
That's why he couldn't pass the conditioning test, because he's puking up like hypnotic.
On his speedboat going 120 miles an hour.
So Bruce Allen is going to be the one that ultimately, I think, gets the axe for this, because this is money that Dan Snyder could find in like his couch cushions.
Yeah, of course.
Or in like an old lady's couch cushions that he wants to sue for like a season ticket thing.
Right.
So what's going to happen is Bruce Allen is going to get the blame for it. And then he's going to get fired, and then the R words, they're probably going to mismanage the Kirk Cousins situation again.
Well, I was going to say, the Kirk Cousins situation to me is not a situation anymore, because if I know the R words, they're going to let Kirk Cousins walk and be like, Colt McCoy, he's a real starting quarterback.
So, all right, this is a take. I think Colt McCoy is about 75% of what Kirk Cousins is.
So that's like 40% of a 40% good quarterback.
Of a franchise quarterback. Yes, yeah, so pay him 40% of the franchise tag. By the way, if you're Dan Snyder, you want to pay some dude some money, I guarantee you, go into Kirk Cousins' backyard.
Yeah.
There's some mayonnaise jars back there with just cash in them, because Kirk doesn't trust the banks.
No. And he's been getting that franchise tag.
And he's got a lot of money. So just dig up one of those cans of Jif and quit being so cheap.
Jif is so good.
Sorry, my cool throw. That dragged on a lot into a debate of Kirk Cousins and Colt McCoy that no one should have to listen to.
Yeah.
My cool throne is RG3. I'm going to stick with the Washington, D.C. theme here. Robert Griffin was back on TV again.
Yeah.
They're bringing him in on like ESPN SportsCenter and like First Take and stuff whenever a quarterback gets injured.
This is great.
Just to be like, hey, man.
He's the expert.
Hey, tell us how shitty it feels.
Yeah, how
to get
much
hurt.
Does it suck to get hurt?
Yeah, so RG3 is the new like senior misery analyst.
I love
at ESPN. It's like Roger Kosick was their legal guy for a
while. Lester Munson.
I think they're the same
person. Yeah, they're both. Yeah.
This is
a dude in a suit on location.
Yeah, whenever something shitty happens to anybody in sports, they're just going to have RG3 come out and be like, hey, man, just tell us how bad you feel all the time.
So what was that like to tear your ACL? Mm-hmm. And then you just have to relive it over and over. Yeah. That's actually really mean.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. So he looked like he was having a good time.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think RG3 is at the point where if people are like even looking at RG3, he's having a good time. Because otherwise, he's just forgotten forever.
Yeah. Hey, so the Browns went 0-16. Hey, Robert, can you tell us about the time you were a spokesperson for Subway with Jared?
That's a good conversation starter. Hank, why don't you go?
My hot seat is Dylan Tex Stone.
Ooh.
He's the person I'm fighting on Friday, December 15th at the Rough and Rowdy. It might be just because I'm all hyped up on pre-workout right now, but I am going to fucking kill him.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to take a razor and shave the rest of his stupid haircut
off.
Yes,
you are.
You tell him,
and
champ.
Then I'm going to take some money and blow it all over his face.
Yes, you are.
That's the champ talking.
Oh. Can we give a quick
also your nutsack because you got smoked?
I got smoked in the press conference. By the way, if you want to win money at the Rough and Rowdy, first of all, you got to buy the fight. So buy the fight. PFT and I are doing. We have a whole team entrance that we have some elaborate things for. We're going to be in West Virginia, but buy the fight and then go set up a MyBookie account and you can bet on the fight. Yes, you can bet on Hank. This is a crazy, crazy world we are living in. It's going to be awesome. My bookie, where you bet, is just as important as where you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. I trust them. You don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They have odds on every matchup and mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code PMT to activate the offer. A 50% bonus that you can then put on Hank. So we're really pumped for this. It's going to be a fucking awesome event. Friday night, December 15th, go to mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Put in that promo code PMT and put it on the handsome one. All right, what's your cool throne?
My cool throne is the Ball family. Many people said that they were done after LiAngelo got removed from UCLA. But
yeah.
Not only did LiAngelo sign a pro contract in Lithuania, they signed LaMelo too, making him the youngest player to ever sign a pro contract.
Wow! Which did you see the team that they're on? They're like on the worst division, and they're like, yeah, everyone's check has been bounced the last like 2 months.
I also saw one thing about the coach, and it said that the coach used to sell meat to his players out of his trunk after games.
Love it. That's exactly what we need.
Yes. You guys sound like haters. Pros are pros.
Well, no, that's a big baller move, selling your own meat.
Yeah, and being the youngest to sign a contract.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel bad for LaMelo. LiAngelo, he stinks. LaMelo is like, play high school basketball in Southern California or go to Lithuania. I feel like that. I think you feel like you're getting the short end of the stick.
You ever been to Lithuania?
I have not.
Well, I've been to Latvia.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of the L's.
Wait, is that the one that's like really far north? I think that's really cold there. They're going to fucking hate
they
it.
They all seem cold.
They're going to fucking hate it.
Yeah. All right, my hot seat is NFL fans. Not because I think,
excuse me?
Well, yeah, you listen it up,
you
put your ears
us
just
on the hot
up.
Seat?
Yeah. Yeah, so NFL fans are on the hot seat because the NFL did that little dirty trick they do in mid-December, and they throw those two Saturday games at you when you're like at the tail end of the NFL season trying to just make it so that you can keep watching NFL, and then they're like, hey, the day that you're either holiday shopping or have your Christmas party, actually you have to stay home and watch these NFL games. And I will. I'll watch every single one of them, but that's come on, just keep it to Sunday. I don't need to bleed it over to Saturday this early.
Okay, I'm going
to
disagree with you on one point here, and that's the TV that gets turned on at a holiday party, especially
and
at a holiday.
All the dudes just
at a holiday
get
house
around
party,
there. Yeah.
That's the water cooler.
Yeah.
That's the new water cooler. That's where you find your dude friends at that party. You're like, hey, you like football too?
Yeah, and then you walk out of the party, and your significant other's like, did you even talk to anyone? It's like, yeah, Jim. Yeah. Like, he's a fucking Chiefs fan.
I met Jim. He's a good dude.
Like, what does he do? Like, I don't know, but his fantasy team's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Also, it's at this point where if you haven't gotten divorced or broken up with yet during football season for never being around, when the Saturday games kick in and your entire weekend at this point is just totally sorry, I can't.
Everything's gone.
Yeah. Then,
and bowl season's starting.
Yeah.
We got too much football.
Hot seat relationships.
Yeah. My cool throne, I got two. One is Roy Moore's anti-Semitism. So I don't know if you guys saw this. You heard about this. Roy Moore was accused of being anti-Semitic, and his wife came out and said, that's fake news. Our attorney is a Jew. So, boom. Done.
Great point.
Yeah, great point. Point Roy Moore. I wonder what their banker is.
Yeah. Ooh.
All right. My other cool throne is Star Wars nerds, because guess what? You got your Super Bowl coming up on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I love Star Wars because it seems like so much fun. Everyone getting excited for this.
Oh.
What?
I remember you guys giving me quite the hard time recently.
Well, no, I've gotten talked into it.
I wish I was excited about something like this. It seems like this is the great, like Robbie Fox, he is more excited than I've ever seen a person be excited. Like he is just going crazy. He's already seen it. And he's still excited because he's going to see it like six more times.
The way Robbie reacts to a brand new Star Wars movie is how I reacted to like seeing a porn for the like first time.
Yeah.
When I was like in sixth or seventh
grade.
That's
fucking awesome.
I talked about it for like 3 weeks, and that's what Robbie's been doing, and it makes me psyched to see it.
We're going
to
see it. So we're going to all see it on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm told that you have to watch the one before. See, this is where I get all confused in my timelines.
Mm-mm.
I have to watch the seventh one before I watch the eighth one.
Star Wars is the thing where they do like the first one is before is technically the third one is technically before the first one
prequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, be careful cuz
hop around.
The prequel is sometimes stronger than
I'm going regular. Raw dog. I'm just going to go in and watch it whatever. I'm not going to understand it, but I'm going to do it and I'll give a review for all the raw doggers out there like, "Hey, we don't know Star Wars. Have you seen them all, Hank?"
Oh yeah.
I've never seen a single Star Wars.
Not a single
what?
One.
Not a single one.
Well, congrats on the sex.
Yeah. My brain is too small to understand sci-fi.
We used to have them on VHS, and like my parents would be like, all right, you can watch a movie, then you have to go to sleep. And the Star Wars were the longest movies I had. So I'd always be like, I'm watching Star Wars.
Young Henny's.
I've seen them many times.
A smart one.
Those extra 20 minutes.
But you were just falling asleep the entire time during it.
No.
Because you were tired, your parents were correct. It was time for bed.
Yeah. So I'm going to see the Star Wars. No big deal. Raw Dog. And you're going to see it, Hank? You're going to tell us what to do?
Bad boy life.
Okay. All right, let's get to our interview with Jeff Garcia. Quick shout out to our coworker, Smitty, who hooked this interview up. Jeff was really fun, and it kind of like came out of the clouds, so thanks for that. And here is Jeff Garcia. All right, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Jeff Garcia. I'll speak for myself, one of my favorite quarterbacks, watching the NFL for my entire life. Not only a starter Hall of Fame in my book, but a backup Hall of Fame in my book. Jeff, thank you for joining us. I got to start with this. Carson Wentz goes down. The Eagles call you up, and they're like, we need a backup. Are you taking that phone call?
Hey, why not, man? I never turned down a phone call.
There we go. You think you could still do it?
I'm very realistic, man. You know what? I can still throw it. I can drop. I can do all those things. I don't know if I can take that hit anymore. You know, that physical part of actually those 300-plus pounders breathing down your neck, that's a whole different story.
Only one way to find out, though.
Old, I have, yeah, you're right. Hey, put yourself in the mix and let it fly, man.
Yeah, okay. Hell yeah.
So did you officially file retirement papers?
That's funny. I've never officially filed the papers.
Okay.
I must be lazy, man.
Convenient.
That must be the thing. Well, when it comes down to doing that stuff.
Well, you're one of those guys that, and it's been 6 years, 7 years, whatever it is now. But you're one of those guys that when your name pops up, I'm like, ooh, Jay Garcia. He could do it. Like if he could get back in there, you're one of those guys I feel like had that special knack where you could plug it in and be a playmaker for someone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just part of my DNA. I'm just scrappy. You know, I feel like I'll figure out a way to make it happen. I keep myself in pretty good shape, and so that's not the issue. I think more than anything, I mean, it's just the rust, right? You got to shake the rust off and kind of adapt to the speed of the game. That's the major thing, is that things move so fast at that level, and when you haven't been around it for 6 years, it's a shocker. And I felt that going to Houston in 2011 when I got a call. It was three quarters of the way through the season. They had the injuries at the quarterback position. They were bringing in a couple guys, veteran guys, to add some support there. And the first couple days of practice, I'm 41 years old, and I hadn't been throwing the ball around. I'd kept in shape, all that sort of stuff. But I step on the field and a bunch of 20-something-year-olds running around, and I'm going, the hell am I doing out here, man? Mm-hmm. But once I adapted, then that competitive juice started to flow, and it was like, okay, I'd love to have an opportunity to step back on the field and see what I can do. I just didn't get that chance.
So I want to talk about the Eagles, but let's go here first because you mentioned 2011 with the Texans. You were on the team with T.J. Yates, Jake Delhomme, and it's because Matt Schaub got hurt. So that is like that's like a Hall of Fame backup quarterback like room. Did you guys just sit around being like, this is pretty fucking sweet?
Well, I mean, hey, Jake Delhomme was there. Yes, Matt Schaub got hurt. Matt Leinart got hurt. So then all of a sudden, T.J. Yates.
Okay. This is like my favorite list of guys.
It's really the Mount Rushmore of backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, if you had Joe Webb
kind of
in the mix there, it'd be like my dream quarterback room.
You got Kyle Orton just poking his head in.
Yeah. So what was that like, though, competing with those guys and basically sitting there and being like, we all had a hell of a career. Maybe not like the most highly touted guys coming out of college, but we all made it in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Jake had a good little career in the league, and I felt like, shoot, if they hadn't signed him the week before they signed me, maybe I was the guy that was maybe the backup and getting the opportunities to play in the game. But it was what it was. But yeah, we had a good room, and there were a lot of quarterbacks in that room with all the injuries that took place. But you know, Matt Schaub and Leinart, they were somewhat quiet guys. I think the main thing with T.J. Yates being a rookie was trying to help him get comfortable with the system, and he was a smart kid, and he adapted, and he did some decent things on the field.
So jump into the situation in Philadelphia real quick. Nick Foles came out today. He said that nothing's going to change with the offense, so they're going to try to keep the playbook the same, he says. You've been in that situation before in Philadelphia, filling in for McNabb. With your skill set coming off the bench for him, how much of it was limiting the playbook that already existed, and how much of it was shifting the playbook for you? And then on the other side of the coin, what do you think they're going to do in those terms with Foles?
Yeah, I mean, for me, stepping in for Donovan, I didn't really feel like they eliminated anything. If nothing else, they might have added things, because mentally I felt like I could grasp whatever they threw at me, and I could spit it out in the huddle and not fumble over my words and really take command. And
in the huddle. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, not do those things. But Marty Morningwig had been my OC in San Francisco, so I was very familiar with his style of offense. And so, you know, if nothing else, maybe, hey, the deep throws weren't as voluminous because of arm strength and just, the differences between Donovan and I. But as far as ability to move in and outside the pocket, I think we both possessed those similar traits. I mean, he was just 6'4 and 240, and I was 6'1, 190. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a difference there. But I could execute the offense just as well, if not better at times. And I felt like there was really a mentality to just, hey, keep adding and keep going. I think with Nick, I think there are certain things that they're going to probably focus more on with him in the game. And I think that will be more so on the running game. Hey, you have some pretty good running backs on that team, a backfield where they share the wealth. I think they really want to now start to create that mentality of physicality and run the football and force teams to get extra players in the box to where now you start to throw the ball and have one-on-one opportunities outside. You're not trying to throw versus cover two or cover four zones. You're getting more single high safety in the middle, one-on-one outside with Alshon Jeffrey or one-on-one with your Zach Ertz tight end. Those type of things where you create matchup opportunities where it simplifies the game for Nick Foles. And you create opportunities to run the play action and movement game out of that, which he's athletic enough to move around. He's definitely not a Carson Wentz, though.
So that year, 2006, you guys go on a run. I'm always curious, when a backup kind of takes over and the starter gets out for the year, how long does it take for you to have the confidence of the locker room behind you, the confidence of the huddle?
Yeah, probably took a couple weeks. You know, I think going into Indianapolis for my first start was a tough game on the road. We lost that one. I did some decent things, but, hey, we couldn't stop Peyton and the crew, and they were the Super Bowl champs that year. The next week we get Carolina at home on a Monday night game, and I think I showed some toughness, some resilience in that game. At home, there was a time when I got body slammed by some 350-pound nose guard, and I'm rolling around with the wind knocked out of me and trying to grasp for air. And A.J. Feely gets up on the sideline. All of a sudden, the fans are cheering because they had a good experience with A.J. a couple years prior. Mm-hmm. Hey, it pissed me off, man. It pissed me off. I jumped up off the ground. I said, I ain't coming out of the game. Stayed in the game, battled through it. And then we went on a road tour for three games against all the NFC East division and whooped that ass on the road.
Hell yeah.
Beating Dallas on Christmas Day in Dallas and brought back home the NFC East division title. And I think, you know, through that run, and I think I earned the respect of the players because of how I commanded the huddle, how I battled through the adversity, showed toughness on the field, physical and mental toughness. And hey, there was a game, the last game of the year at home on New Year's Eve night, we're playing Atlanta. We had already clinched the division. We always would meet as a team in the middle and before the game. And guys would get excited, and they would almost be like a scrum in the middle of the pack. And it would mostly be defensive guys and big old linemen and all that. Well, I jumped right in the middle of it, start headbutting guys, and, hey, they got all fired up. They were just, hey, going wild, man. But, hey, mm-hmm. they had named me team captain that year. I mean, when we did a vote by the players, they nominated me as team captain. So I had earned the respect of my teammates, and we had a great locker room with Dawkins and Jeremiah Trotter and Brian Westbrook and a lot of great players in that locker room that really held each other accountable. And, you know, it was a great run.
I'm pumped up just listening to that. Yeah, I'm like you just sold this locker room.
I think you just sold me on the Eagles right now just with the idea that maybe you'll come back and start headbutting people.
I can do that. Yeah. I can do that.
With the McNabb injury, was he still hanging out with the team? Like, you know, a few weeks afterwards, was he like in the meetings at all? Showing up in the facilities? Was his mom passing out soup? How involved are these players? Like, with like a star player like McNabb, how involved with the team do they become? Even though they might be on the IR.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he had to go through his surgery and all those things. It wasn't easy to get around on the crutches, but he was involved. He was coming around. He was on the road trip for games. You know, he was trying to be as involved as he could be. I've been in situations where it's been the other way, where I was backing up Steve Young. All of a sudden, Steve Young goes down in San Francisco, and he kind of disappeared for a couple months. You never saw him around the locker room, never saw him in the meeting rooms. And we had three young quarterbacks who were trying to now take over the position, and we could have utilized his knowledge and experience, but he had his own stuff that he was going through, and he kind of just separated himself. But everybody handles it differently, and I don't know. I'm wired and built to where if I can't be on the field, I'm going to do my best to help out whoever is behind me or whoever's taking over that position. And I've always been that way. I felt like we create a competition within the room to force each other to be better, but it's a positive competition. It's not that I'm sitting there worried about who's trying to take my job or who's backing me up. Hey, if I can't handle the job on the field, then somebody else is going to have to step in and handle it. But I've never feared competition. I've never feared trying to help those guys get better behind me, because we're only as strong as that room is strong. And so that's the situation right now with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. And I'm sure Nick was very supportive of Carson out there. And Carson has mentioned in his message that, hey, he's going to be around. He's going to try to help Nick. And he seems like that type of guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I saw a few months ago you said that T.O. is a no-doubter Hall of Famer. Do you think it's fair, though, that he has had to wait a little because of maybe the locker room presence he had and some of the locker rooms he was in falling apart because of his actions?
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's the decision of the voters and the writers and those guys who kind of hold those certain things against him because they look at him as not being a team guy and a locker room guy. But, hey, the guy has put up the statistics that leave him in the conversation with the top 2-3 receivers ever in the National Football League as far as statistics are concerned. So when you have that type of credibility, it's just a matter of time. And, you know, I don't get too caught up in, well, I didn't get in this year. You know, what's the holdup? The guy is going to get in. And whether it was a first ballot or the third ballot, you're a Hall of Famer, man. And it's going to happen eventually.
So you guys obviously had your famous kind of war in the media. But what was T.O. like in the locker room? Was he a good teammate, or was he a guy that was more about himself and kind of divided things?
It depended on his mood. You just had to deal with what he was feeling on that day. And I think a lot of it came from what sort of attention he was getting on the field. I mean, he was the type of guy that, like, if he didn't get a lot of opportunities to make plays and we won the game, he was kind of over there not real thrilled about it.
Right.
But if he put up a 15-catch game and we lose, you see him there with a smile. So what does that tell you about kind of their mentality? I mean, I think that in a lot of ways, he obviously was a great player on the field. He helped me build success on the field with being that tandem as far as what we were able to accomplish together. But, you know, it was a different feel. I mean, there were times when I just would be on the practice field and didn't feel like that guy really wanted me to be the quarterback
right
for the team. You know, he's clapping for the backup when the backup makes a little throw and not ever giving any sort of support toward me as the quarterback. But you know what? I didn't rely on that from him. I knew what I was going to get out of him, and I just left it at that. And I didn't have any high expectations as, hey, we're not going to ever be buddies. It just is what it is. And just go out, show up on Sunday, and do your thing. That's all I want to see out of you.
Would you rather have a locker next to T.O. or next to Freddie Mitchell?
Fred X.
Yeah, no, I think T.O. Would be a better teammate as far as that that's concerned. We all knew what we were going to get out of T.O. on game day. And whether he was disruptive or not, or had his mood swings or whatever, he always worked hard. I mean, the guy worked his tail off. In practice, he busted his tail. Game day, you knew he was going to bring it. So you never doubted the effort and the mentality to want to win, you know, but hey, it came with a little bit of diva attached to it.
So when was the last time you talked to T.O.? Have you spoken to him?
Yeah, I actually ran into T.O. a few years ago when he was still training right before he signed with Seattle. He was training down here in San Diego. I live near a lot of the quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Palmer. They would all get together in the summertime. Well, we just kind of ended up residing in similar areas. And so in the summertime, a lot of them would get together and run a workout. And so T.O. was there and I was there, and we crossed paths, and you know what? We buried the hatchet. A lot of the things that had happened when we were in San Francisco together, and a lot of the problems and the negativity, you know what? We put it behind us and moved on. I wish him well. I have I'm not a guy who carries that crap with me anyways. Hey, I don't want to dwell on negativity from the past. I move on from that stuff.
I totally forgot that T.O. played on the Seahawks.
Yeah.
That's something that I think
he hung on a little too long.
T.O. has definitely gone around to like every household in America with a Men in Black thing and just erased their memory.
And the Bengals. People remember the Bengals.
Remember the Bengals because of Ocho Cinco.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You remember Buffalo?
That was quite a run at the end there. Yeah. Would you consider yourself to be the best redheaded quarterback of all time?
Ooh, good question.
I think so. I mean, let's see. There's Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
What other redheads are there?
That was the only
Carson
one I could think
of. Kind of. Carson Wentz is a little bit.
Well, you know what? He's a ginger. He definitely is a ginger. So he probably has an opportunity to take over that that role. But you know what? For the few that have played, I'm the best redheaded Mexican
ever
played the game.
That's a fact. Facts
you
only.
Can't touch that.
You're actually the second redheaded Mexican person we've had on this podcast. Canelo.
Oh, yeah. We had Canelo before.
You know, he lives and trains right in our neighborhood, man. He goes to the same barber I take my kids to.
There we
Canelo.
Go. Fun fact, he doesn't speak English. So
I know. I
got to
run into that guy.
Yeah.
He gustas tecate, though.
Yeah.
We learned that from him.
So I don't know if you've seen this stat rolling around Twitter today and yesterday. It actually started from our show. Sage Rosenfeld stole it from us. Mm-hmm. But the NFC North, the top three seeds, Case Keenum, Jared Goff, and Nick Foles all played under Jeff Fisher. You coached under Jeff Fisher. What is Jeff Fisher a QB whisperer?
Definitely not a whisperer. You know, I think quarterbacks were dying when they went out and played under him, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And I think a lot of it was because he didn't surround them with the necessary expertise. From a coaching standpoint, I think that he always tried to – well, the year I was there, Frank Cignetti was the offensive coordinator, who was the quarterback coach the year before. Frank Cignetti came out of college as a linebacker or a defensive back. He was not an offensive guy. Now, he learned the offensive side of the ball, obviously, but I'm in the – within the organization – and I'm not even allowed to talk to the quarterbacks. Here I'm the most experienced quarterback in the building, but yet I'm not even asked to come sit in on a meeting room, review film with the guys, give my two cents. They're running the West Coast offense. Give my two cents as to what I think these guys can do in order to help their game. They were being coached by the old Florida State quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner.
Chris Winkie.
Had a couple years in the league. Chris Winkie was the quarterback coach, and Frank Cignetti was the offensive coordinator. And so, you know, I just thought that was frustrating for me as a former quarterback, where I felt like I could have maybe helped Nick Foles. I could have helped Case Keenum from the standpoint of just playing the position. And the time that I did try to help out, I got told, go farm your own field, basically. This is not your position to coach. So that experience in the NFL was one that just, you know, it wasn't what I was hoping it would be from the standpoint of really being involved and being able to help young players better themselves and contribute to a position that I played my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Would you have given him the advice to wear a glove like you did? Because there's something about a quarterback wearing a glove that just kind of looks cool. And that buys, I think that buys you an extra 2 years in the NFL if you rock a glove.
Yeah, you know, I used to do it for reasons because my left hand would get beat up, getting hit by face masks when I got hit in the pocket or when I was running. And I'd have all kinds of scrapes and all kinds of stuff on my hand. So I just started wearing a glove to basically protect it. But, yeah, Nick was doing that out there in St. Louis. I don't know what his reason was for wearing the glove, but, yeah, it might have been a cool factor or a trend type thing. Who knows?
So you went, like, you yourself weren't viral, but the clip of a drunk Eagles fan saying, Jeff Garcia is our baby, we're going to go all the way this year, went viral a couple, weeks ago, months ago. It was a clip from 2006. Right. Did you see that? Did that take you back to the times when, like, Philly was full go Jeff Garcia?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had seen that clip back then. In 2006, somebody had put a video together for me, and that clip was on it. But then for that thing to be resuscitated, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and be sent around again, I actually did an interview with NBC Sports Philadelphia, and they had the guy on the air as well. And so there was like they brought back the connection, right?
Yeah, he was your father because you were his baby.
Yeah, I'm his baby, exactly. And so that seems to be what Philly people want to remember me for. They want to call me their baby. And then I became, you know, Carson Wentz became their baby, obviously.
Yep, uh-huh,
but,
yep.
you know, it's I'll say this. The experience that I had in Philadelphia was one of the best experiences that I had playing in the professional, in the NFL. And the fans are why, because they were just passionate. And fortunate for me, it ended on a somewhat of a good note. Even though we lost in New Orleans, hey, they never expected to win the NFC East division, especially when I stepped onto the field. And then all of a sudden we do that. And so I was like, hey, I was like the next best thing, the second coming of Rocky out there, you know? And so it was a great experience, and they've kind of been left with that experience, especially with what we did to the NFC East at the end of the year that year and going into Dallas on Christmas Day and, hey, Merry Christmas, Philadelphia, and all those mm-hmm. things.
I like how you keep bringing up the fact that it was Christmas Day. Just
love it.
Twist the knife on the
love
Cowboys
it.
A little bit. I'm always down for that kind of trolling. You played in Cleveland for a little bit. You had a cup of coffee in the Mistake by the Lake, which means that you're actually on that jersey, right? The jersey where they have the list of all the quarterbacks. Do you get royalties from those sales?
I'll have to check into that, man.
I want to get every single quarterback from that jersey on part of my take at some point. So we'll check you off the list.
Yeah.
But what was that like playing in that town? Because I know that their fans are actually like, they have a good time, and it's a good sports town, despite what Hank will tell you. But what was it like? Like, was it different playing for that organization as opposed to, you know, every other one? Because it seems like they do things a little bit differently there.
Sure, sure. No, I mean, it has the potential to be a great sports. It's a great football town. I mean, they're passionate like Philly fans, and they love their football. They love their Browns, and they just have been given such a bad run of football these last 19 years since the comeback, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, back when, hey, Jim Brown and those guys were playing for that team, they had some teams that were excited, that they could get excited about. And then the Cardiac Kids with Brian Sipe and that group, you know, kind of brought them to the edge of some good things. But I realized it, I guess, going through the process of playing for them. Butch Davis was the head coach. Terry Robiskie was the offense coordinator. I thought the team had enough talent to compete on a weekly basis. And as a matter of fact, I'm the last starting quarterback there in Cleveland that has won an opening day game.
Whoa.
So you're looking back at, since 2004, they have not won an opening day game since that time in the last 13, 14 seasons. So,
you remember who you beat?
We beat Baltimore.
Nice.
I was hoping it was
AFC North football.
Yeah. That's right. I was hoping it was the Cowboys
on Christmas Day. Yeah.
No, we beat them pretty good. And shoot, I thought things were looking up for us, and they quickly went down. But, you know, it was I just realized, going from a system where in San Francisco under Mariucci running the West Coast style of offense and having alternatives at the line of scrimmage, being able to check out a play, get into a play that gives you a better opportunity, and then not having that freedom to do that in Cleveland, I'm like, are you serious? We're in the National Football League, and we have no audible system to get us out of a bad play. And it just was like
– that's shocking.
Yeah.
Even for Cleveland, that's shocking.
Yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden, hey, Butch Davis resigns, Terry takes over temporarily, and then it's a whole new regime comes in, new GM, new head coach, and they cut the entire quarterback group from the team. And I'm thinking, gosh, I thought I was going to be here for at least 3-4 years, and now all of a sudden I'm one and done, and now I have to go somewhere else. And, you know, so it just doesn't shock me that they continue to be their own worst nightmare. They can't get out of their own way with decisions they make. I mean, they signed Kenny Britt this year to a crazy contract. I was with Kenny Britt in St. Louis. I knew what he was all about. I knew the problems that he had physically. I knew that the problems that he had mentally. And you're going to give this guy $30-plus million, who's kind of on the over the hill gang type deal. Just because he had a good year last year doesn't mean that he's worth that type of money, but that's the stuff that they do. And then what, he ends up catching two balls for him, they end up cutting him.
He's actually
the new GM.
He's going to be signing with the Patriots today. I don't know if you read that yet.
So he'll probably go to the Hall of Fame.
So now he's going to be good again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen. He's going to have an awesome finish to the season, help them go to probably the Super Bowl, and then the Patriots are going to go, thanks for your time. Mm-hmm. Now you can go on and go find a job somewhere else because we're not going to keep you any longer. But that's what they do, right? They find a way to get the most out of somebody, and then they are expendable.
What would you say Kenny Britt's limitations are physically?
Well, he's dealt with knee problems. So he had a hard time of stopping on routes. I mean, when you talk about a guy who's going to run a 12-yard hook route, it may take him 5 yards to slow down. I mean, he's given away the route just because he can't stop on a dime, so to speak, anymore. I mean, he's a bigger receiver too, so you don't really expect those type of routes out of him, but that's just an example. Like, he just was not physically well enough to give you sharp breaking routes. And then, you know, he was just one of those guys that in the meeting room, he wasn't really a leader. When you want a guy who's an older guy, who's more of a veteran, and you're dealing with a young group in that classroom, you want that guy to be your leader, and he just wasn't that guy.
All right, so last question. Thank you so much for giving us your time this afternoon. This has been really fun. Last question. Give us a percentage of Jeff Garcia getting the call for Canton in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, man. Hey, as much as I think when you combine my entire career and you really bring in the CFL statistics as well, I mean, I've thrown for as many or more yardage than a lot of people. I mean, and statistically speaking, okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
Statistically speaking, you can look at Troy Aikman's stats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can look at
my stats. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Troy has 3 Super Bowl titles.
Okay, you know? But it's a team game.
Doesn't matter. Team game. Chris Carter will tell you that doesn't matter.
Team game. I have some stats for you because I think we should start the Jeff Garcia for the Hall of Fame movement here.
Well, technically, it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yeah. It's not the NFL Hall of Fame.
True. So you had...
So they should include the CFL.
Yes. So
that.
You threw 160. I mean, why not? You threw 161 touchdown passes in your career. More touchdown passes. You ready for this list? Bart Starr. Roger Staubach, Sid Luckman, Joe Theismann, Mike Vick. That's a pretty good group there. Yeah, you threw more.
And Joe Namath probably too.
Yep.
You look at Joe Namath's statistics.
They stink.
He was horrible.
He stink. Yeah.
He had maybe 1 year where he threw more touchdowns than interceptions.
So,
but he's in the Hall of Fame. That's crazy,
disgusting.
Right?
So it's a shame that Joe Namath's in there and you're not, Jeff.
I hear what you're saying. I think Jeff Garcia in Canton makes a lot of sense right now. What jersey would you wear if you went in?
Oh, gosh.
The Browns,
man.
The one with all the quarterbacks on the back.
The Texans.
The Texans, right.
Yeah, just bring Schaub up there. Make sure. Last question. Did anyone ever, when you were in the quarterback room, did anyone ever be like, hey, Matt Schaub, try not to throw pick sixes? Like, was that ever just like a little tip thrown out there?
No, because he was already wounded and lame.
So
he wasn't even in the
you
game.
You can't throw
anymore.
Pick sixes from the sideline.
We couldn't give him that one. Couldn't do that.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. We'd love to have you back anytime.
Man. Have a good one. Good luck with the Eagles this year.
Appreciate it.
That interview was brought to you by SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're catching your favorite musician on tour, shopping for the perfect gift, or searching for a last-minute deal to see your favorite team, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices. Fully guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere with just a few taps. I can instantly find seats. It's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. It saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, they grade every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code TAKE today. That's promo code TAKE, T-A-K-E, for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. The interview is also brought to you by Upstart. Part of My Take is made possible by Upstart. They say never judge a book by its cover. Sound advice, but it doesn't apply to the banks when you apply for a personal loan. They take one look at your so-so credit score and their minds are made up. If you need to borrow money, consider Upstart. Upstart is revolutionizing the personal loan experience by going beyond the traditional credit score to assess credit worthiness for a personal loan. Using more than just your credit score, Upstart takes into account factors like your job experience, your education when determining your interest rate. With Upstart, applying for and receiving the funds you need is quick and easy. In just 2 minutes, you can find out your Upstart rate, and once your loan is approved, you can get your funds as soon as the very next day. Plus checking your Upstart rate is free and does not affect your credit. Whether you need to pay off credit cards, consolidate debt, or make a large purchase, an Upstart personal loan can help. There's more to you than just your credit score. Skip the traditional loan process and see how low your Upstart rate is at upstart.com/PMT. That's upstart.com/PMT. Other restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's get to some segments. First up, we have a PR 101 for the NFL Network. A couple guys, Heath Evans, Ike Taylor, Marshall Faulk, Donovan McNabb, all have been accused of sexual harassment, so we're not going to PR 101 mm-hmm. them because they're probably scumbags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Heath Evans, by the way, if you post selfies at the gym, mm-hmm. talking shit to football fans, like being like, Falcons fans, deal with your loss. Look at my ripped, shaved body.
He's also like 44, right?
That's the old Anthony Weiner. Like, you don't, yeah. like, that's just a bad, like, you, I already think you're a fucking weirdo.
It's getting a little closer. But here's a good rule of thumb. Anybody that takes a picture of themselves in a mirror with their camera.
Yes.
Instead of just turning the selfie mode on.
Yeah.
That's probably, you don't understand how physics works.
Or sending it to a Twitter hater being like, look at me. Yes. I'm a fucking badass.
Yeah, so we won't do PR 101 for NFL
them.
Them, but we can do it for the network.
Yeah.
So number one's pretty obvious given who we just talked to. Just replace McNabb with Garcia.
Yeah.
Garcia
wow.
is awesome at taking over
for
McNabb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just 24/7 Cowboys Christmas coverage.
Yep. I agree.
I would also say just turn down Jeff Fisher for the job preemptively.
Mm. If the NFL Network's a stock right now, right?
Mm?
It's low. Like these guys for everything I've read, they're shitheads, and people are going to be like, what the hell? Why would you employ these guys and let this happen? Jeff Fisher, he brings the mediocrity back. So you're going from low to right in the middle.
Okay,
so
I think
Jeff Fisher is the perfect hire.
Okay, then just preemptively say you're not hiring Schiano, because everybody
yes.
loved Tennessee when they said that.
Uh-huh.
So you can just say that, hire Jeff Fisher, Jeff and Jeff.
Yeah. Maybe also poach Adam Schefter. Be like, hey, Shefty, come on over here. And then you get like, here's what we do. You poach Adam Schefter, and then you get Rappaport and Schefter, and you also poach Jay Glazer, make a dream team mm-hmm. of all the insiders.
The triplets.
And then you remake Oompa Loompas, and we do like a whole thing like that. People love those kind of, you know, they love a remake of a movie.
Yeah.
We'll just do it with the NFL insiders, Oompa Loompas, and everyone will forget about it.
You know what I would do? I would tell Ian Rappaport to report that the NFL Network has hired Adam Schefter, and
Ooh.
Then have Adam Schefter be like, no, my sources are cannot confirm this.
Okay.
And then Ian Rappaport's like, yes, they are, and then everybody at ESPN, all his bosses get mad at him
mm-hmm.
for flirting with the NFL Network, and then they just let him go.
Yeah. Well, you think what I'm thinking, though?
What?
They should hire Adarn Schefter.
Ooh, that's, yeah.
That's really, yeah, you'd really get some buzz going from
he
there.
He does more with less, with
yes,
less Twitter followers
exactly.
than the real Adam Schefter
yeah.
does. I would also say just change your channel number.
Mm.
That is as good to me as any sort of rebrand
actually,
can be.
Actually, I disagree. If you change your channel number, you're a dead channel to me. When you're no longer like I have them all seared channel. In my brain. If you are not, if I can't like just hit the number right away, like I think. Well, actually, I don't even know what NFL Network. I still haven't learned the New York channels.
No, neither have I.
I know just like ESPN and FS1.
I have to search for Red Zone manually every single Sunday.
Yeah,
it's actually the most. Like, it's as close as I come to a workout.
Yes,
every
being
week.
Like, oof, where is this channel? Yeah. All right. Next up, we have our favorite segment is Tom Brady full of shit.
Hmm.
So Tom Brady has
this is a segment that we do.
Yeah, we, yeah. Oh yeah, we've done
this
it.
This is a recurring
Liam,
segment.
Can you confirm?
This is our we've second time doing
yes,
it.
Yes, we have. Liam's saying no. So Tom Brady has a new app that will
app.
Help you
cut your own
sleep
mic off.
Better. The TB12 Fitness and Wellness Organization, co-founder Tom Brady, announced today the launch of the TB12 Method mobile application, offering a roadmap to the TB12 Method and lifestyle.
It's a great
and
app.
For the low, low price. Mm-hmm. Of $200 a year.
Sign me up.
Actually, no, wait. $199.99.
Okay, even
yeah,
better.
Yeah, so that's actually a deal.
I mean, that's less than most gym memberships, and you get to learn from the greatest quarterback of all time.
So Hank, did you sign up for it?
Yeah, duh.
Okay.
Cutting-edge concepts incorporate athletic preparation, hydration, nutrition, and rest. So you pay $200 for an app to tell you to drink water?
I was going
to
say all the app should be is just like an hourly alarm clock on your phone that just says, don't eat that.
Yeah.
Because whatever you're planning on eating, you're not supposed to
you know
eat.
What?
You know
Hank,
what? I'm going to get it for you
yeah,
as
I was
a Christmas
say,
gift,
no,
Big
Hank,
Cat, because you
it.
Could really need it.
Wow, what is that supposed to mean?
It means you could use some health in
you're
your
looking
life.
At my stomach
yeah,
right now.
I am.
Bad radio Hank's looking right in my stomach.
Yeah.
Listen, don't gut shame.
I saw that picture earlier.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it was
bad
like
visual.
Three cats.
Hank, you should actually buy this app so that we can do updates on the TB12 method. I'd
so
like
I
to have that be a recurring segment.
I will
segment.
Gladly do that.
Yeah. So buy that for us.
Tom, I got you.
I really can't
great
wait
app.
To see...
Can't wait for the update.
I'm excited to see how Bill Belichick is going to find ways to screw up the pronunciation of Tom Brady's app.
Yeah. Yeah. The face smash.
The snap book. Tom has his video game that he put
it's
out.
It's his Insta app.
We're certainly proud of him for the Nintendo that he's working
his,
on.
His microwave snap is really going well. You had a Stay Woke for Tom Brady.
Yeah, Stay Woke. Well, this actually comes from Andy Behrens. Andy points out that Tom Brady has a very suspiciously poor performance in games that are right in the smack dab middle of fantasy football playoffs. And this goes back all the way to 2007 in like weeks 14 and 15. I'm just going to toss a couple of these games out.
Give it to us.
188 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 233 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, 140 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Sounds like Kirk Cousins.
Ooh, so
yeah,
you
115
mean-
yards, 1-1. So this is a trend for
so
Tom Brady.
So he hates your fantasy team. Brady hates your fantasy team.
He absolutely does. It would not shock me if this was a New England Patriots strategy to do nothing but just fuck with people that play fantasy football.
This is one of those things where it's like an annoyance, but if Tom Brady came out and said, yeah, I actually fucking hate your fantasy team, so I do this on purpose, mm-hmm. he'd be a hero in my eyes.
Yes.
Because that's like that would be the funniest troll of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I carried you to the playoffs, but you guys got a fucking free ride. Free ride ends week 14 when I shit the bed.
Wait, is Tom Brady Jewish?
No.
Because these are all like at the start of Hanukkah, right?
Oh. Well, Hanukkah floats. It's like Thanksgiving.
Okay,
it's
so it's
on
always
Thursday.
On
the
November 25th.
Yes, okay. Exactly. All right, next up we have a Trump NASA update. We're going to the moon, boys.
Yeah, we're going to the moon and maybe even Mars. So
wait, I didn't hear about the Mars.
Yeah, he said he also wants to put people on Mars. I'll say this. NASA has played Donald Trump like a goddamn fiddle. Last week, I didn't even report on this. It slipped through the cracks, but NASA said that they were going to dye Mars green.
Hell yeah.
You know how they dye the river green
in
like Chicago and
or
Savannah?
Or in Tampa Bay, they dye the ocean blue.
They dye the ocean
blue. For the lightning.
Yeah, that's nice. so they're going to try to dye Mars green, and I guess all this bullshit that NASA's been putting out finally caught Trump's eye, and he's like, everybody hates me. Why don't we just put people on Mars now?
See, this is one of those things where, like, we don't talk about politics on this show, but if Trump gets us on the moon
mm-hmm.
and on Mars, that's fucking sweet.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
space is awesome.
Yes. Everybody would line up behind Donald Trump if...
Think about how many jobs could be on the moon.
Or on Mars.
Yeah. And then just bring them back.
Mine for Bitcoin on Mars.
Ooh. By the way, are you guys getting into Litecoin?
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because I heard like there's like
a
scam.
After I went on Friday.
I heard it's a scam. We should start our own currency.
Our own cryptocurrency?
Yeah, why the fuck aren't we doing that?
Gritcoin. I've been trying to get Gritcoin off the ground for the last 5 years.
What do you need to do to start a currency? You just got to tweet that you started it.
It's all about trust.
So what I do...
That's what I've heard. What
I do, well, we're the most trustworthy people ever. Airport reviews? Done. Yeah. Cult? Done.
TV show?
Done.
So my idea was just like... I just tweet pictures. I tweet the JPEG image of a Gritcoin at people that I think get a Gritcoin.
Yeah.
And then they have that in their bank.
Okay.
Like, that's cryptocurrency, right?
Ooh, what if we made it a currency off of Kate Upton's boobs? Little crypto joke currency.
See, that could be a problem because that's a finite resource. There are only three of them.
Yeah, true. You don't want to run out. All right, last up before we get to Guys on Chicks, we have a Respect the Biz for Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter. Yankees fans
Jeter
do that all
sucks.
Time. So Jeter is a no-show to the owners' meeting, even though he owns a team and he's gutted that team. And people are like, "Hey, man, you probably should come. Probably should take that big bald dome of yours and explain yourself for trading your once in a like franchise history guy for nothing."
This is what I love about baseball writers is they get mean.
Oh, yeah.
When owners don't answer questions, when they feel like they're being ducked, especially at their winter meetings, which I don't really understand the concept of the winter meeting. They just like go to Orlando for a week or something.
Yeah, it's basically so that like all these guys can go just on a vacation.
They take their kids to Disney World or
something. And they just sit in a hotel the whole time.
Right. That's it. From what
and they call each other in the hotel. So they don't even go meet each other. They just call each other.
From opposite sides of the hotel lobby.
Yeah, right.
They just don't leave the lobby of the hotel.
They're war rooms.
Yeah, so I guess they're upset that Jeter's not there explaining why it was a good idea to get rid of Giancarlo Stanton, even though he was the only good thing that they had in Miami.
Yeah.
But like, I'm okay with that. I like a little bit of mystery around Jeter because we've all figured it out. Like, what is he going to say? Like, I secretly work for the Yankees.
What if Derek Jeter's just shy? All these years, like, oh, he doesn't talk to the media. He doesn't, you know, he plays the media so well, he doesn't talk a lot. What if he's just shy? He's just come on and be like, "Hey, guys, I'm a little bit shy."
I would love to see Derek Jeter just really fuck with the media and say he was Giancarlo, he was killing too many rallies. And so his home runs, they're making the other players that didn't hit as many feel bad.
Yeah.
Or just be like, here's what Jeter could do. He could come out and just do a little, be like, wait, so no player has hit 59 or more home runs since 2001? What was going on back in 2001? Just get the old witch hunt started.
Yeah, just get the old cycle going. No pun intended.
Maybe Jeter just like scooped up some of Stanton's piss out of the urinal, tested himself.
Derek Jeter, by the way, he's one of those guys that if he puts on another like 10 or 15 pounds, he's going to be really fucking ugly. Because when you get the bald head and then you get the like the big cheeks, it's bad. You need hair if you're fat. Speaking from a fat guy, you need your hair.
Yeah, he's going to have one of those heads that definitely gets really wide in the midsection, but it's still going to be pointy
at the
top.
It's going to be like the orb that the guys, Trump and the Saudi Arabians touched.
I was going to say, I think it's going to have a little bit more of a crest to it at the top. Like, he's going to have a faux hawk of scalp, if that makes sense. Like a point.
Skin, some extra skin flaps.
Just a pointy crest on the top.
He's going to look like a dickhead.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter's a dickhead.
So I've got a joke. You want to hear my joke?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, rate me on a Kate Upton scale. Okay.
What was that word you said?
Kate Upton scale. Rate me.
Okay. What?
Rate me.
Okay.
Legitimately.
Rate you.
Rate me. Please.
Got it.
So they're upset at him for not like explaining his moves. Derek Jeter spent the last 5 years of his career refusing to give up his position. Why would he change now?
Ooh, nice.
2.5
Okay.
All right. 2.5 Hey, I thought that was pretty good.
Do we still have Elliot's laugh from the airport?
Yeah, put Elliot's laugh in that one. All right, let's get to Guys on Chicks. All right, time for Guys on Chicks. We have a very special guest in studio for Guys on Chicks. It is the winner of, you won the Bachelor, Bachelorette.
The Bachelorette
is Sean Booth. So before we get to Guys on Chicks, how does the Bachelorette work?
I mean, it's a fucking mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Did you fight anyone?
Almost.
Okay.
Almost.
Were you on the one where that guy went crazy and everyone was like going nuts for him, Shane or whatever his name was?
You're talking about Chad, I think.
Were you on Chad's?
I was on the season before him.
Okay. Got it.
Do you ever just sit back and thank your lucky stars you didn't have to go up against that alpha male?
Yeah. I tell everybody, if I was on that season, I would have liked Chad. All the guys came off that hating him, but I thought he was pretty badass. The things that he was saying was pretty true.
Yeah, it was. It was. And he was just like getting drunk and trying to like fight everyone.
Everyone.
That's
awesome.
What reality television is about.
And most of those dudes are betas. So.
Yes, exactly.
Did you ever go into the fantasy suite?
I did.
Are you still?
The night after the fantasy suite, I think she sent the other guys home.
What was that like in there?
Was it all your fantasies come true?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Pretty much.
Okay, it's cool.
So you cool.
So you just hung out and watched football and ate chicken wings.
You can't watch
all
anything.
My fantasies. Yeah.
We're gonna be like your grandparents right now. When are you getting married?
Oh God.
We need babies.
So you found love. I want babies. You actually found love.
You and Caitlin aren't married yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You found love.
We should get a headline for you guys and let's announce a date right now.
Yeah. Okay. Ready?
You guys did what? You did
We did a gender reveal the other day.
Yeah, gender reveal.
So now we do a save the date.
Yeah. So you guys pick the date.
Okay. December 15th.
June 9th.
6/9. June 9th's a good one.
A summer wedding.
Yeah.
Well, kind of
early summer. Yeah. Maybe not too hot.
No, it's too hot.
Okay. All right, so we'll do
fall or winter.
Oh, so you're trying to push it all the way next year.
420.
Wow. 11/11. Okay. All right.
11/11.
So it is true you can find love on The Bachelor.
You can.
Stolen Valor.
It's rare.
How many people are still with their Bachelor?
I think there's been 30 seasons.
Okay.
Bachelor and Bachelorette combined.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 couples right now.
Mm. Okay. All right.
The
so
odds
we're
going
to beat the odds. Mm-hmm.
We got to get you guys on
it's
there.
Like, yeah.
Which one of you want to go on?
Start fighting everyone.
I want to know, what would you guys do out of the limo?
What goes on in the limo?
So the way you enter the show,
uh-huh.
You ride in on a limo, mm-hmm. and the girl's standing on the driveway.
Oh, it's easy.
And then you got to get out and do your spiel.
Easy. I would just step out pantsless. Women love dick pics, unsolicited.
I'd probably be like, hey, limo driver, don't slow down. Do a little barrel roll out of that thing. Like 15 miles an hour? get everyone, you know, being like, holy shit, is this James Bond?
Yeah.
No, we it's get just you a out fat there. Guy with a mustache.
That's awesome.
So, but for a second, they'd think it's James Bond. They'd be like, ooh.
For a split second.
Yeah, for a split second. So, Sean, you are a listener of the show. You're an award-winning listener. So, you
Big
know
fan.
Guys on Chicks. We figured because you do know Chicks, because you won The Bachelor, you'd be a perfect person to do Guys on Chicks.
Bachelorette.
What's the difference?
But it is 2017, so
yes, gender's a spectrum. Anthony Scaramucci.
So, Bachelorette, it's a chick. And then
one
there are
chick,
a bunch of dudes.
So I had to go against 25 other
so
dudes.
So you basically were like, you signed up for reality show, you were like, I want to live in a sausage party for 3 months.
Yeah,
did
why
you guys not?
Not?
Do you guys not have TV or anything?
No TV, no internet, no cell
when
phones.
When was it taped?
It was taped March until... It was
so
like
you missed March Madness.
Yeah.
You don't even know what year was
they
this?
They gave us brackets to fill out, uh-huh. but we couldn't watch.
What year was this?
This was 2 years ago.
Wisconsin won the title.
Yeah,
so then the Caps won the Stanley Cup
afterwards. Yeah.
That was good sports year.
Yeah, that was a great sports year for us. Okay, let's do it. Guys on Chicks.
Hey, boys. Sup. Especially Hank.
Oh.
How do I get my boyfriend to watch The Bachelor with me this season?
Mm.
He's already watching. I know he is.
You think
secretly.
That, you
I think
so?
That a lot of your guys listen to the show right now actually like that show, mm-hmm. but they don't want to admit it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, my problem is it's on Monday nights, isn't it?
Yeah, what
that's
else
Monday
you have to do
football.
Monday night?
That's Monday Night Football.
It doesn't air during football season.
Oh, that's smart. Okay. All right. Well, there's other sports going on.
You
got
to give him some incentive.
I would also say just get a second TV.
Yeah.
So then that way he can have, you know, whatever he wants to watch with the mute button on,
mm-hmm.
and then he actually watches The Bachelor with you.
Well, he should watch The Bachelor because there's 25 girls that he gets to watch.
True.
Don't watch The Bachelorette. Yeah. It's a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, a bunch of
no
dudes.
Other place that you can look at women in 2017.
But, by the way, I'm a big reality TV guy, but my problem with reality TV is my brain is too small, so when they do the cliffhanger at the end of the episode, I'm like, oh, fuck, next week. Fireworks, and then they come back, and it's like nothing really happened.
And you probably believe everything
every
you see.
Single time. I'm like, holy shit, it's gonna be the craziest episode ever. Like, CT is gonna beat up everyone, and then it comes back, and they're just sitting around getting drunk. Yeah, I'm a big challenge guy.
Question for Sean Booth.
Ooh,
I've read that he wanted to propose to Caitlin a second time since the first time was for TV. Does he still plan to do so?
Wow,
and why is that important
fan.
To do?
Wait, so you were forced to propose?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Right. So they
shotgun wedding.
They stick you in a limo, they give you a suit, and they give you a ring, and they say—
Do you get to keep it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck like yeah. How much cool, is that thing worth? Did you guys get it appraised?
I think it's $150,000.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Shit, so who owns that ring?
We do.
Nice.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah. So then they put you in the limo, and you don't know where you're going. You don't know if she's already engaged with some other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get out of the car, and they walk you to her, and then you got to do your spiel.
Okay.
So we said that we would do a separate proposal outside of that.
You want to do it right now?
I mean,
could do
gender reveal.
Gender reveal, yeah. We're doing it all. Yeah.
Yeah, tell me how I should do it. She's already got the ring.
Take her to a Cowboys game.
What you do is
feed it to your dog and then have it poop it out.
Poop it out. That's good. I was just going to say.
She doesn't pick up the
poop. Take your pants off and then it's running.
You're all about taking the pants off.
Well, it's a party starter.
Fastest way to a woman's heart.
I think you do it in Dallas. You go to a Cowboys game. Chicks love football. Jumbotrons. Biggest Jumbotron in the world. Boom. Right there. Done.
With the pants off.
You're a Cowboys fan, right?
Yeah.
I am, unfortunately.
Do you remember when Jeff Garcia beat you guys on Christmas?
Oh, God.
Yeah. We have him. He's the other part of the show, and he brought that up many times.
Jeff Garcia.
Yeah.
People forget that.
I thought you were going to say, you're a Cowboys fan. What's it like being a douchebag? You were very nice to our
You're a Cowboys fan. What's it like rooting for Duke?
Listen, I hate Cowboys fans.
You hate yourself?
I do. Self-loathing? Yeah. Okay. I hate Cowboys fans and Patriots fans. I grew up in Connecticut. So all my family are Patriots
fans. You're Cowboys fans, but you hate
Cowboys fans.
Yeah. I had a decision when I was about 7 years old. They gave me a Drew Bledsoe jersey or a Troy Aikman jersey.
Troy.
Who would you pay?
Troy's choice, yeah.
True.
Yeah, Troy Aikman.
True.
Yeah. Jeff Garcia's better stats than him.
True.
Sup, guys. Good luck, Handsome Mike. Thank you. How do I tell my man that I want him to shave his chest without insulting his manhood?
Ooh.
Do you shave his chest in the middle of the night?
Do you shave your chest, Sean?
I do because I can't grow full chest of hair.
What does that mean?
But if I was him, I wouldn't shave it if he can already grow it.
So you shave your chest because you can't grow chest hair.
I heard a rumor that if you shave your chest.
Yeah, we all watched that Seinfeld.
What? It grows back faster?
Yeah, we all watched that.
That's Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an episode of Seinfeld.
I do not grow chest hair.
So you shave?
No, I don't have anything. It's just like little.
Something pops up, so you got to get rid of it, right?
Is that.
Oh, yeah, he's all right.
Mine is.
Yeah, we call this the stairway to heaven.
Mine is just a triangle that points up at my face for some reason. Yeah. You want to see?
Yeah, he's got PFT's got four
got
nipples.
Yeah, would you shave that?
I'd shave. I wouldn't shave that.
No, this is good. This is good shit.
You got a solid
this
base.
This is what a man looks like.
Knowing that you shave your chest, man card. Who? You're a good looking dude. Do you think we're alphaing you right now?
I am feeling a little intimidated.
Right, good, good. Better next question, Hank. Yeah.
When are we going to take the pants off?
Ooh, PFT's already got his off. All right, next question.
This is the last one.
Okay.
Hey, PMT. Sup, big cat?
Ooh.
Hope your balls are okay.
Winky face. I got hit in the balls by Caleb, so.
How/why is The Bachelor not considered cheating, and why is everyone just okay with the blatant cheating?
Good question.
That's a great question.
Because you're not Facebook exclusive because you don't have the internet. So as long as you're not in a committed relationship online, then it doesn't count.
Exactly. And the weird thing is, it's acceptable. All the guys, it's your boys. You're like, all right, have fun with her tonight.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow.
That's just a weird world.
That's a very weird talk. World.
How many other dudes did your future wife kiss on The Bachelor?
What was it, 25? She probably kissed 22 of them.
Okay.
Maybe less.
She ever like, are you guys ever like doing a little Netflix and chill and you make out session breaks out and she's like, man, that guy Sean, or no, you're Sean, that guy Pete kisses way better than you, Sean. She ever like do a flashback?
There's no Pete's on the show, but.
Okay. We'll throw a random name out.
Brad.
Nope.
Brett.
Yeah. Brett.
Walker.
Nope.
Skyler.
John.
No. Still Ofer.
Tyler.
Corey.
Nick.
Corey.
Okay, yeah, Corey.
Yeah.
Okay.
There
Corey.
Were two Corey's
a way better
two
kisser
Corey's.
Than you.
Two Corey's.
Yep. The Corey's a better kisser than you?
Yeah, she says that, and then you're like, wait, which one? And she says both of them.
At the same time.
Man. Getting alpha big time
out
here.
We just alpha the fuck out of you. All right, Sean, thank you so much. What do you got going on right now?
Right now, just being a professional fiance in New York City.
Not a bad job.
She's on Broadway, doing some fitness stuff. Got my meal plans website up, SeanBoothMeals.com.
SeanBoothMeals.com. How much you bench?
340.
340? That's not that much.
Have you ever taken a selfie shirtless at the gym?
Never.
You sure?
At the gym.
At the gym. Flexing.
No.
Okay. All right. That was a big test that you just passed. Because that's like a big red flag we've learned.
Now Keith I see Evans. Why you shave your chest. It's because you're trying to get your pecs to pop.
Yeah. Wait, what should we be eating? You have meal plans?
Aren't you still on the keto diet? No. Or are you still recovered from that?
We're back on the buffalo wing and Chinese food diet.
Yeah. Hey, that works.
So what should we eat? Give us like two tips.
Two tips? All right. We'll make sure you're eating breakfast. You eating breakfast?
No.
Five, six meals
never.
A day?
Actually, never. I literally never eat
How many
breakfast
meals a day are you guys having?
Like one big one. I eat like a snake.
Six or seven medium-sized ones.
No, I mean, I eat like a snake. Like, I get one big meal every, like, two days.
Yeah.
You can do it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, that works.
So, got to eat breakfast.
Yep. I'm not giving you guys any tips. You guys look like you know what you're doing.
Okay, fine. Perfect. We're good.
Yeah.
So go to for the real tips, go to what was it?
SeanBoothMeals.com.
Love it. SeanBoothMeals.com. December 15th.
Get involved.
That was our show. We will see you guys in West Virginia. The wild and wonderful West Virginia. Thursday night, we're going to be there. We're going to do the show live from the ring. That might be a lie. December 15th. Tune in. Buy the pay-per-view. It's going to be $15.99 on December 15th. Mm-hmm. It's $9.99 right now. We're going to be there. We're pumped. You're pumped. Buy it. We'll see you then.
Love you guys. 15th.
Take on me. Take.